Welcome to Stories After Midnight. We will be reading a story called My Husband Has a Towel on His Face by Nom 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 Nation. I really hope you enjoy it, and before we get started, just the absolute hugest of shoutouts to my patrons, and for you, for listening. Hurry up in the shower, we have to leave soon. I yelled towards the bathroom at my husband. Every year at some point in the days leading up to Christmas, our families get together. We were already making bad timing when he realized he needed a shower. I had misplaced my earrings, paranoid about making us even later. As I walked past the bathroom, I noticed the door wide open. My husband stood there, still naked from having recently departed the shower. He had a draped pastel orange towel over his head, one that I didn't even know he owned. It didn't cross my mind at the time, just a fleeting thought. He swayed gently from side to side, like a swinging pendulum. I giggled. "Stop being silly. You know we're running late. Have you seen my earrings?" Immediately upon entering the bedroom, I spotted them gently glistening on the bedside table. Relieved, I yelled again. "Never mind. Found them." As I put the first in, my gaze fell directly ahead of me, at the painting of a lighthouse hung on our bedroom wall. My husband was never a stranger to local markets. He almost had a talent for buying the strangest items. I've grown used to it, but this painting always stood out to me as a bizarre purchase. The lighthouse stands as the subject, with a series of indistinct, colorful blobs painted around the bottom. A crowd of nondescript people, I had always assumed. On the frame, at the bottom, a title or note or quote of some kind has been etched in. The Jolly Goodfellows. My trail of thought was cut short as I failed to get the second earring in. I had stabbed myself slightly and began to head to the bathroom for the assistance of the mirror. He was still standing there, swaying. "Honey, we really need to go soon. Please get ready." I approached the mirror, seeing no blood. I breathed a sigh of relief and put the second earring in. The whole time, from the corner of my eye, I could see him still swaying. The towel blocked any view of his head. My patience was wearing thin. Had he even sorted his clothes out yet? "Honey, come on," I spoke as I lifted the towel from his face. Peering under, I expected to see him smiling, acting playfully. I felt a little bad, but being ever aware of the ticking clock, sometimes I have to remind him to have urgency, even when he's just playing around. His eyes were wide, his face emotionless. He stared forward as though there wasn't a wall a few feet from his face, like he was looking just a little past everything. He stopped swaying as the towel was removed, but remained in this state. I gently held his hand. "Come with me. Let's sit down." I knew something was wrong. As I guided him to the bed and sat him down, his arms felt limp, as though his muscles were void of any connection to the brain. "Let's get you some clothes, okay? We can talk about what's wrong." I tried to speak calmly as I turned around and searched through the wardrobe. I began asking questions, trying to take his mind off of things. My mind, whilst still aware of the time, was now more focused on my husband's well-being. Noticing a lack of answers or responses, I turned back to face him. "Have you ever jumped at the lack of something? Usually we jump at the sudden presence of something we were not expecting. Perhaps the sudden movement of an object we thought would remain motionless. But when I saw my husband wasn't behind me, my body jolted slightly. I hadn't heard him move or felt him walk past me. I expected him to still be on the bed. The lack thereof was enough of a shift to shock me. "Honey?" I yelled slightly, wondering where he was. I walked past the bathroom. There he was, orange towel draped over his head, swaying gently at the same rhythm as before. "If you don't respond to me, I'm calling an ambulance." I needed a quick answer. My mind jumped straight to some form of brain injury, perhaps from falling over in the shower. I knew that acting fast is the only chance you have to minimize damage. He didn't answer. I removed the towel from his head as I dialed emergency services. Again, he stopped swaying. As I explained everything to them, I watched as he knelt down, picked the towel back up, and draped it back over his head. The swaying continued thereafter. Paramedics arrived shortly. He put up no fight and allowed them to escort him to the ambulance in a wheelchair. I kept asking questions about whether he'd be okay. They had to keep reassuring me that whilst the hospital would do everything they could, they had no information to go off of. My racing mind looked past this and continued to ask similar questions regardless. He kept trying to stand up whilst en route to the hospital, yet would be compliant when gently pushed back down. As long as someone was guiding him, he would follow. When this stopped, would he try to move? The same had happened back at home. He only got up and left once I had sat him down and let go of him. Through the sound of sirens wailing overhead, the bumps of the ambulance journey, and trying to hold back my tears, I could hear a familiar tune. My husband, showing almost no other signs of activity, was gently humming. I leaned in to get a better listen. It was a very low tone, and each note seemed to begin as a hum, yet end as more of a raspy breath. Each one seemed to continue for slightly longer than they were supposed to, but I recognized this tune. He was humming, "For he's a jolly good fellow." Arriving at the hospital felt like a blur. Everyone knew exactly where they were going. I was following along, completely lost in this maze of signs and painted lines intended to guide. We had left the ambulance and arrived at his assigned bed before I could process what was happening. As soon as he was laid down, the confusing blur continued. "Ma'am, could we borrow you in the next room? We just need you to fill out some paperwork." "Not until I know if my husband is okay," I snapped. "We understand, but the best chance at survival is if we understand everything. This paperwork will take care of some of that." I was assured that a doctor would be in the room shortly and that my husband was in good hands. I shouldn't have listened. They certainly didn't. I explained that he kept trying to get up and walk about, but they clearly underestimated. I hadn't even helped the lady fill out my husband's personal information before we were informed that he was missing. "He can't be far. Keep an eye out on all entrances." The staff spoke to each other urgently. I was asked to remain calm and continue helping with the paperwork, but I refused. I attempted to run around the hospital to join the search, but was quickly told that I don't have the authority to be wandering around alone. I hardly cared. My husband was the only thing on my mind, but I didn't want to be escorted out and risk not seeing him at all when he's found. I took my efforts outside the hospital. I looked around the parking area and then the nearby streets. After an hour and a half, I was still wandering, with no word from the hospital and any findings in the building. I began to walk home, hoping that somehow he had remembered the way. It was a 20-minute walk. I could not imagine that he had survived in his state, let alone managed to correctly identify the entire journey home, but it was worth a shot. I arrived to find our front window smashed. No glass on the pavement below told me that somebody had broken in. Perhaps I should have been more cautious, but I just wanted to know if my husband was inside. My hands shook as I struggled to get the key into the lock. Once I did, I turned the handle and ran inside. I don't think I even closed the door behind me. "Honey, are you here?" I don't know if I was surprised to see what I saw, or whether I expected this. There he was, in the bathroom, orange towel draped over his head, swaying gently. This time a pool of blood collected on the tiled floor below, dripping from his right arm. Cuts on his legs and torso told the full story. He had no concept of pain. He smashed the window to get in, to get back to this exact spot. The injuries meant nothing to him, for whatever reason. His mind was focused only on anchoring itself in that bathroom, under the gentle weight of a towel. Crying, I approached him and lifted the towel slightly. I hardly even noticed the blood soaked into it. His eyes were red. Had he even blinked since this began? The humming continued. I should have contacted emergency services immediately, but instead I just stood there, staring into his eyes, pretending he was staring back into mine. I wanted him back. Gently, he lifted an arm and pulled the towel back down over his face. I don't know how long I stood there sobbing. "Please talk to me. I love you." The gentle humming would have been comforting, but the slight inconstancy of the rhythm was a subtle reminder that my husband had no awareness. I thought back to all our recent conversations, everything we ever done together. Lately, he's had a fascination with the ocean. I could never understand it. A horizon swallowed by the forever swaying and crashing of waves never appealed to me. He used to tell me all sorts of facts. One that particularly disturbed me was an old tradition of placing a towel over the faces of sailors who had passed whilst at sea. Once back on the shore, you place a towel over their face as you waited for somebody to arrive with help or a hearse. Curiosity, having a moment of breakthrough, as I grieved my still-living husband, I went into the bedroom. I took a closer look at the painting. The blobs at the bottom of the lighthouse, I had always assumed them to be nondescript people, with little detail added, though I had never understood why the blobs were so colorful. Only then did I realize they were not a crowd gathering at the bottom of the lighthouse. There were dozens of bodies laid out on the shore. Pastel, colored towels were draped over their faces. Perhaps my husband is there now, forever visiting the lighthouse, staring into the horizon as it's swallowed by the ocean. That's the end of this little story. I really hope you enjoyed it. If you did and you're on YouTube, would you be so kind to let YouTube know that this is not a hot garbage story or channel, and like the video? If you'd like to talk to me, you can either join the Discord or leave a comment. And I would really appreciate it though if you subscribe. But I mean, I have to say these things because if I don't, for some reason there's a lot of FOMO going on and I feel like I will miss out on likes and subscribes, which obviously are a huge component to growing on YouTube. So hey, there's that. A huge shout out to my patrons for helping me out with these stories financially. I really appreciate it. If you'd like links to other things or maybe to check out whatever about Stories After Midnight, there is storiesaftermidnight.com where it's got, I don't know, just information. But without further ado, I feel like I've been blabbing on much longer than I've needed to, so I guess I'll wrap it up. We'll see you in the next one.